Welcome to the Herbal Womb Wisdom Podcast, where we explore the embodied practice of herbalism with the womb at the center for folks who are new to herbs or herbalists in the making. This is a place to become empowered to include herbs and natural therapies in your personal health and, most importantly, to reconnect to the deep wisdom and healing capacity of your own body and the earth. I'm your host, clinical herbalist and integrative health educator, Kyalea Honeybee. Let's dive in. Hi, beautiful friends. Welcome. Welcome back if you're returning. Welcome, welcome if you're new. How you doing? I would like to share with you what I saw out my window a few hours ago, which was a bald eagle that was flying. It was just like this big swooping bald eagle. It was flying. And then it seemed like there were maybe three crows or ravens that were flying behind it or with it. I'm not sure if maybe they were attempting to get whatever the eagle had or what was happening, but it felt meaningful enough for me to share out loud and just offer you any of that medicine of eagle that might be coming through today. So today's episode is actually a pretty long interview, so I want to do a fairly short introduction. But I have Rebecca Rankin, who is a yoga instructor, does both asana, pranayam, yogic path instruction. She leads retreats around the world, so residential retreats around the world. She teaches yoga teacher trainings. She has had studios. She has a whole strong background in yoga, and it seems like maybe different forms of yoga too. I'm not totally clear on that. And what she does is she bridges the worlds of cyclical living and cyclical living mentorship, working with the seasons of your cycle. So the follicular phase, ovulation, luteal phase, and menstruation, to really actually bridge the worlds of yoga, movement, food, nutrition, lifestyle into really embodying that in your cycle. And so we talk about that. We actually talk a lot about just kind of cyclical living and how it has impacted Rebecca's life, especially since she became a mother about, I think she said 8 or 9 years ago, and how it's really impacted the way that she relates to her body and to her cycle. And there's a lot of shifts and changes that have happened for her, both as an entrepreneur, as a mother, as a cycling person. Which is, I look forward to you hearing about her experiences and just what cyclical living means to her and different ways to interact with it. And then what I love, love, love about this episode is that she brings in, it's towards the end, but she brings in various asanas, so the postures from yoga practice, and various breathwork techniques, pranayam, from yoga practice, into the different phases of the cycle. And she talks about, she gives like a couple examples for each phase, for the follicular phase, for ovulation, for luteal, and for menstruation, just some ideas of how you can work with embodiment practices to align with your own cyclical living and your own cyclical phases. And what I also really appreciate is that she actually guides kind of step by step through each of those poses. So you really get a sense, and through the breathwork practices, so you really get a sense of, oh, okay, this is what I would be doing. She brings in the idea of working with a towel and rolling that up, like being able to bring circulation to your pelvis. It's actually pretty neat and stuff that I haven't tried before. So I really appreciated that. And I hope that you do too. And then in the end, she actually leads a really lovely kind of deep grounding, bringing your energy down to the earth breathwork practice and visualization, which I think that you'll love too. Before we dive in, let's do the disclaimer that nothing that we share today is medical advice. I am an herbalist. I am an integrative health coach. I am starting to bring bodywork into my practice if you're local. And Rebecca is a yoga teacher and a cyclical living coach and mentor and hormonal health mentor. So everything is just for your own information and education, for your own personal empowerment, for you to feel into what feels true and right for you, because your own womb and your own body always know best. And if you have any specific conditions or concerns and you would like support, seek out a practitioner that feels really good for you, that you feel really aligned with. Okay, beautiful friends, with no further ado, here's the interview.
Hi, Rebecca. Welcome. Welcome to Herbal Womb Wisdom. It's so interesting because I feel like Well, first of all, I've been excited to reconnect with you. It's been now a year and a half since I guested on your podcast, and we met each other like maybe a couple of years ago in a course we were in. And I just have really appreciated your orientation towards like cyclical living and hormonal health, and just seeing you like walking your path as a yoga teacher and a sound healer and really bridging all of those worlds. I'm just very excited to have you here. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm so excited to be here too.
Yay. So let's just start with you introducing yourself, like what your background is, what your work that you're doing now is, and why you do what you do.
So I help folks feel less confused about their bodies, their cycles, their hormones, and learn really how to care for themselves in meaningful ways, right? So that they feel less stressed, have more energy, greater hormonal balance. I'm a women's holistic hormone health coach, and I specialize in cyclical living. I'm also a experienced registered yoga teacher, 500-hour E-R-Y-T 500, a Yoga Alliance accredited educational, continued educational provider. Just all fancy words for saying I've been teaching yoga for a really long time. So I've been teaching yoga for nearly 20 years. So I do yoga teacher trainings, hold yoga retreats, workshops. I'm also a Reiki master, a sound healing practitioner. So when I work with folks, it's really through this holistic lens. And I feel like my origin story is one with a few twists and turns along the way. So I grew up in the Midwest, kind of a pretty low-key, typical Midwestern upbringing. And I was like a dreamer. Like I was always wanting and seeking more out of life. I went to the University of Michigan and have a degree in architecture from there. And like before I graduated, I got a job offer to move out to San Francisco. And I was just stoked to move out west. That was kind of my dream at the time. And I accepted the job. I moved out west and I worked for this firm. And I was absolutely miserable. I really, all throughout college and in those early years in kind of the corporate world, really had a hard time with self-regulation help. I had a hard time with managing stress. And I was absolutely miserable. And I really, in that environment, I couldn't see myself staying there. Like I'm miserable in my early 20s. Like I can't, like all my colleagues around me are in their like 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. I can't envision myself that. So it was around like the same time that I was really just learning how to deal with my stress, dealing with like my anxiousness and kind of little panic attacks that were happening. And while I was loved to do long distance running and hiking, a lot of my colleagues at the time were encouraging me to explore yoga. And you know, coming from the Midwest, growing up in the Midwest 20 years ago, my only experience with yoga growing up was I had this best friend of mine. Her mom was a very like eccentric woman, and she would do yoga in her living room. So that was like my only like knowledge of yoga was like associating that with her. But I, you know, was open-minded. So I tried all different yoga styles. And at the time, there was all these amazing yoga teachers in San Francisco. And I really kind of became hooked. I feel like it was, you know, in my early 20s, this feeling of really coming home to myself. And it was then that I realized like how disconnected I was from myself, right? I didn't have like an embodied practice. So I really had this just disassociation with myself, my body, even just the mental qualities, the physical qualities of just being in your body, was really just connected from it. So, you know, having that just awakening, I felt like I just dove all in. I really immersed myself in, you know, yoga, asana, meditation, breath work. And I found myself like 3 years after starting, you know, my architecture career, quitting my career as a designer. And I went to, you know, yoga teacher training and not really knowing if I was going to become a teacher or not. But I had a beautiful mentor in San Francisco who encouraged me to teach. And then it just really blossomed. I was able to travel around the world teaching teacher trainings, yoga retreats, teaching yoga all over the place. I lived abroad for a while in the Netherlands. And over the years, owned yoga studios, managed them. Really, it's become just a part of my daily fabric of life. I every day have some sort of yoga, meditation, breathwork practice daily. And the cyclical living piece really kind of wove its way into my life through kind of like a slow but very persistent way. So when I first started menstruating in, you know, as a teenager, I always had really heavy, painful periods. And yet I really bought into this idea that that was just, that's what periods are. They suck. They are awful. You're going to have painful, you know, periods, going to have cramps. And that was just, you just sucked it up and you dealt with it. And I grew up with brothers, like I have, you know, a twin brother, older brother in the Midwest. Like they weren't attuned to, you know, menstruating individuals and would like tease me that, you know, the my period products were called the unmentionables. Mm-hmm. And so it like further, you know, solidified that this is something that's shameful. This is something that we don't talk about. And as supportive as my mother was, like she never had this, you know, education to learn, you know, to live in alignment with your natural cyclical ways. Like that wasn't her language. And she was the one who'd be like, yeah, you know, take some Midol, you know, here's your tampons and your pads. And yeah, you know, just kind of sucks. But if you, you know, take Midol, you'll still be able to do everything that your brothers do. You know, it was very much like, you can do it too, attitude. So that was kind of this ingrained way that I looked at my cyclical nature. Yet, the more that I practice yoga and mindfulness, the more that I just felt like this isn't right, right? That like I really don't feel like painful periods are normal, right? I don't feel like, you know, as I got, you know, older, I really was like, I don't think that the inherent design of our female anatomy is one that's designed with these flaws in mind, right? And yet the narrative around it was filled with shame, was filled with inconvenience, and that was just really deeply ingrained. And it wasn't until probably that I really kind of started to dive deep into cyclical living and understanding my cycle as a whole, not just my period, was when I had my first child. I remember she's 8 now, but when I had her, I remember when I was pregnant, I was so excited because I'm like, I don't have to deal with a period. Like, this is great. And then I was like, oh, and then postpartum, I'm not going to have my period for a while because I'm going to be breastfeeding. And then I don't know, 6-8 weeks after having her, my period came. And I was like, just devastated. I was like filled with dread. I was like kind of pissed. I'm like, oh, this is not supposed to happen. I'm exclusively breastfeeding. Like what is up with that? And I realized it was then that I was like, oh my gosh, this is not a normal, like my body is amazing. I just gave birth to a baby. I brought a human life into this world. I cannot have this relationship with myself. Like that's not natural. And I also am like, I have a daughter. Like, I don't want her to think that like her cycle is something that is dreaded. That's an inconvenience. So that opened my eyes to being like, all right, I need to look at this a little bit bigger. Like I need to look at this through the lens of the same lens that I do through, you know, my yoga practices of self-acceptance, of becoming more body literate, of, you know, living in a way where I can give myself some self-compassion. And so I, you know, started using my own yoga and meditation practices to really help A, with just like the discomfort I was experiencing with having a period. And then I studied with a yoga teacher, Tiffany Cruikshank, that she had a whole training on female health and yoga, an immersion training. So I took that and I just started just really find more and more resources out there that helped me just find ways to create greater hormonal balance holistically, like through everything that I did. The more I looked into that, the more I realized, oh my gosh, like, yes, like our cycles are amazing. Our cycles bring us into balance. And then by doing all that work, I started having like pain-free, symptom-free periods, which I did not think was a thing until I started experiencing. I'm like, oh my gosh, like I don't have cramps anymore. Like it's been years since I've had cramps. I don't experience any of that. Those were just red flags that my body was like screaming at me to like take a look at how I was treating myself so that I could actually treat myself a little bit better and in more alignment with the hormonal shifts so that I can just create, you know, a healthy ecosystem. So yeah, so then I did a training to become a certified women's holistic hormone health educator and coach, and really just started to weave it into the work that I was already doing, and, you know, created a podcast and all the good stuff.
Yes. Thank you for sharing that whole backstory.
it's a lot.
I like hearing it all, because it's like you're coming from, like, you actually even shared about the context of when you started bleeding and how the, because I think that's so real and so something that we often overlook is like, earlier on in our lives, how there's imprinting about how we perceive ourselves, our bodies, certainly our menstrual cycles, but also our bodies. And you had like brothers that were teasing you and a mom who was saying, you know, just grin and bear it and take this painkiller and you can still do everything. And I think that's normal. That's all, like, I think in, at least in the United States world, that is like normalized for us, is just like, oh, it's an inconvenience, but you can deal with it. And there's like that whole even feminine, you know, maybe it's old school feminism, but like old school feminism concept of like, well, we can do whatever the heck a man can do, like just put on the pants and go like be an executive and don't even think about your menstrual cycle. In fact, even better if you're on hormonal birth control, you're not getting one.
Yeah. And it's like, you think that like, that's how, like, you know, my mom's generation, like, that's how they had to get a seat at the table, right? Like, so it's like, I don't deny that that was necessary for us to even be able to, like, freely talk about, like, our menstruation and align our, the way we work and the way our productivity is with our cycles. Because to get a seat at the table, they had to do that, right? Like, they had, and then that's what they know. And so that's the way that my mom then raised me, was like, you know, you can be right in there too, right? Just suck it up and take your Midol and you'll be good to go. I don't blame her for that, but it's, you know, you can see how it then perpetuates us being completely disconnected from a very natural aspect of ourselves, right? Like, we think that we should be just the same person day in, day out, that same productivity levels, same energy levels. And when we're not, we feel like there's something wrong with us. Mm-hmm. And that's like, you know, that's the big reveal, is that like, oh, actually all along, you're allowed to be cyclical.
Yes. And that is actually part of what it means to be in these bodies that are cycling bodies. That is like part of what gives us power even. And I think that in itself is pretty neat. I'm excited to dive into that in a second, but I just want to reflect back that, yeah, when I was thinking about that person wearing pants and getting to the executive level, like I was thinking directly of my mom who listens to this podcast, and she is that person, you know, who did that, you know, and I think it was so empowering for her and her generation and for your mom too. It sounds like it came from a place of incredible, that was their power, right? Like their sense of power came from that place of like, I can do this. And look at this. I'm actually, you know, what's incredible is that a lot of these folks who were so disconnected, these women or folks who are so disconnected from their bodies, you know, in a lot of ways intentionally, and just because they found that like liberation from the home, and they were able to achieve all of this, even being cyclical beings. So yeah, it is like pretty extraordinary to think about that.
I just got like goosebumps. I'm like, yes, full body, yes.
Let's actually dive into a little bit more of what cyclical living even means for anybody who might not be as familiar with it. Like, it is something that I've talked about in this podcast, but I know not everybody listens to every episode and somebody might be new to this podcast. So for someone who's new to the concept, like, how do you describe what cyclical living is?
Yeah. So cyclical living, the way that I like to view it, is it means aligning your daily activities. So let's say your work, how you nourish yourself, exercise, your mindset, social engagements with the natural cycle. So it could be with aligning to the seasons, to the lunar cycle, kind of in this context, your menstrual cycle. So aligning to your menstrual cycle so that you can improve mental, physical health, have more energy, more joy, greater productivity. And also, I loved this piece, is like promoting like spiritual growth as well. So in my work, I work with folks who are menstruating and help them really understand just like what the hormones are doing in your body and how like the shifting, the ebbing, flowing, the waxing, waning of your hormones kind of provides you with these superpowers. And if you are making mindful choices that kind of align to each phase of your menstrual cycle, it's this beautiful way to live in harmony with, you know, the ebbing, flowing of your mood, your energy, your libido. I like to think like cyclical living offers us just this opportunity to see ourselves as cyclical beings and give us ourselves a little bit of grace to not feel like we have to be the same person day in and day out with the same desires, the same level of productivity day in and day out, because that's just not what happens like in our experience, right? So it can give you this opportunity to give yourself some self-compassion and self-acceptance and just be a little bit more body literate.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm curious, like, so when did you start living more this way? Like, what time frame are we looking at?
8-9 years ago, I'd say. Like, more fully embracing it, like probably 8 years ago with like the birth of my daughter. I think I was like aware of the concept prior to that, but then like really deeply in it in like the past 8 years of like basically becoming a mother, kind of stepping into that life shift anyways. And also for me, in my age, my mid-30s is when I started to live in more alignment, because I think my body was just giving me these signs of like, enough is enough, right? Mm-hmm. Like I can't live like this. And this does not seem like normal. This does not seem...
How have you seen, like, are there any specific things that you've noticed? I guess one of the huge things for you is like pain-free periods or like a lot less sensation during your menstrual phase. But I'm curious if there's other things specifically that you've really noticed in your life.
Yeah. So as like a, I'd say like an entrepreneur since quitting my corporate job, right? For 20 years. And I feel like as soon as I started to recognize how my energy levels shifted and even just like my levels of focus and what I was like drawn to do, I feel like I was better able, I'm way better able to set up what I'm working on throughout each phase to really take advantage of just my more hormonal shift. So like one thing that could be is I feel like I'm way more productive now. And this could also, I mean, you could also put it through the lens of just age and maturity too. But with that, like the wisdom to know, like, you know what, like I'm going to be way more outgoing and personable and just more outward energy during my follicular and ovulatory phase. And when I accept that, then like those times when I'm like in my luteal phase and, you know, prior to not knowing my cycle, like there'd be those times in the month where I'm like, oh my gosh, I really don't want to go out and see people. Like, what's wrong with me? Giving myself a little bit more grace, like, yeah, you know what? Like my energy is starting to dip. Like this is the time where I'm like, actually, I don't really feel like adding any more to my plate because I have enough. And I really just want to nourish myself and nurture myself. And part of that is not being lazy or, you know, unproductive or antisocial. It's just like my cyclical nature. And it's like this big lesson in self-compassion, mm-hmm. and kind of quieting the inner critic. That is like this underlying thing that, you know, my yoga practice is what I kind of initially started me on this journey of like the self-compassion journey, right? And quieting the inner critic and, you know, the negative narration that can go on in your mind is giving it these like lenses to be like, actually, when I realize where I'm at in my cycle, I can give myself a lot more grace. Like, yeah, I'm not gonna be as productive, but you know what? I'm gonna be like great at focusing in on one thing. And that I think has been really beneficial as an entrepreneur, as, you know, someone who doesn't work a 9-to-5 job. Because, you know, I get to dictate my schedule. And then of course, like the physical benefits, you know, having periods that feel manageable, like is huge, not dreading them. Like that even alone, the feeling of dread of something in your body is like, oh, that just feels icky. Not having that inner critic, once again, that self-compassion piece of like slowing down, turning inward, like my rest days are built in because I'm listening to my body and becoming more body literate.
I love all of that. Thank you for sharing that. I love like honing in when somebody shares like a big concept, like honing into like, how do you feel this in your body? Like, how does this show up for you? So thank you for sharing all of that. I think I've seen it in my own self too, in different ways. And yeah, it's just neat to always hear because it's so life-changing. It can be so
less. And then it's like, you've like lifted this veil and you're like, oh my gosh, I can't not see this anymore.
Exactly.
Like, yeah. You know, you're like, I can't not do this.
How did I live without this? Like, how
did you're like, I was so blind. Yeah. It's like, I was blind and now I can see. Like, then it's so much, I think, it can feel overwhelming to the beginning because you're like, where do I even start? But it's like once you start to see, you start to see these cyclical patterns, you start to incorporate these things, you're like, oh yeah, like this is just how I do it now.
Yeah. And I think it is a lot of times just about observation, you know, like slowly, gradually incorporating more observation of self. And like you're saying, the self-compassion and understanding, like having awareness of what each cycle may hold. And then recognizing that like everyone's phases might be a little different from other people. Yes. So like really knowing what is your unique expression of the phases and what's true for you versus like what the yes. books say.
Yes. Yes. Because, yeah. And we also have to realize like we're not like, life is always happening around us. Mm-hmm. And so like, if we're living in a vacuum and you're like, yes, I know that my estrogen is going to make me feel creative and all this. And like, meanwhile, I didn't sleep last night because my kids were, you know, like had colds and they're like, you know, sleeping in bed with me and kicking me. And you know, so it's like, that's going to definitely color the lens that I see life the next day, realizing that there's more, there's so many layers to us being in this human experience.
1,000%. Yeah. So how do you see like nature being a part of this? I think you spoke a little bit to this, understanding like connecting with the seasons, and maybe you even mentioned moon cycles. I'm not sure actually if you mentioned that, but I'm curious about how you see nature as part of like the cyclical living concept.
Yes. So I feel that our modern world, like the way we live, for a lot of us, like we can feel very disconnected. A lot of us have like lost our connection to the natural world. Like we have so many modern amenities, which is great. And so in a way, like we can very much live in a somewhat artificial environment. Yet like, our bodies, our minds, that we can really work by taking cues from the natural world. Even something as simple as the idea of the rhythms of the sun, the rhythms of the moon, right? Like we, if you're a menstruating folk, like you have these two inner clocks working all the time, right? So the sun, right? Or the solar rhythm, right? Is like our circadian rhythm, right? It's our, governs our sleep-wake cycles, our digestion. That is like this solar aspect of ourself. The lunar cycle, right? The 28-day ebb and flow of the phases of the moon, we can see that as our infradian rhythms. Infradian rhythm is like kind of any rhythm that's longer than 24 hours. So like seasons, the lunar cycle or menstrual cycle. So this lunar aspect, this lunar rhythm that is within us, right? That roughly is 28 days. And we see these phases of the lunar cycle when you look at the night sky and, you know, each evening it's a little bit different, right? What's illuminating, you know, like you think of the night sky at a new moon, right? It's dark. You see all the cloud or you see all the stars. It's not cloudy, but like, you know, it's this reminder for us to like turn inward, to like have this time of kind of darkness. And then you think of like the night sky in the full moon, especially right now, like I live in an area where we get snow, and the full moon and a winter night, oh my gosh, it's like the lights are on, right? It's like this illumination, everything's being pulled out, we're like drawn. And we can look at that as like our ovulation, right? You can look at that as like this outward energy, this time to like put ourselves out there, be visible, everything's visible in the night sky. And these are just these subtle cues and reminders that are all around us that can help us live more mindfully, live more meaningful lives, even just like steep them with pause and have greater intention. When we feel and recognize, you know, as above, so below, right? When we recognize, oh my gosh, isn't that cool that like the sun, you know, rises and falls, and so does like our, you know, our circadian rhythm does the same. Like when you see that interconnectedness of us and the natural world, like I really truly feel like the more people see that our connection, like we really stand a better chance also to be better stewards of the land, right? To better take better care of the earth and its resources when we see like our own reflection within it. So I feel like cyclical living has that natural component to it. And of course, like we can look at the seasons, the seasonality, we can look at the seasons, and we can represent that within our own inner cycle too, right? We've got, you think of winter as like your menstruation. You can look at spring as the follicular phase, right? It's like, ah, oh, fresh. I'm let's see what happens, you know? Then you've got summer's ovulation of like, oh, let's bring it, easy breezy, let's do it. And then you've got fall, which is this reminder to like, all right, we're going to like turn inward. We're going to start to tone it down. And I think like the more we can see that cycles bring balance, right? We can't be perpetually summer all the time, right? We need cycles to bring us back into balance. Same with like our inner cycles bring us into balance, right? For as much outward energy we put out, we need that much inward energy to pull back in, to come back into harmony, to come back into balance.
Yes, I love that. It's very true for me, and it's very much something that I live by, is our relationship with nature and our, basically we are nature, you know, like, and not set. I think there's a healing in reconnecting ourselves to the earth, 1000%, to the natural cycles. And I see how it's very similar. Like, it's a very similar healing that happens when we reconnect to our own bodies. I know that there's a whole cyclical living world out there where people aren't, I mean, yes, they like say, oh, inner winter, inner spring, but they might not actually have as much relationship to the earth as maybe say we do. But I feel like to me, the truest healing, the most powerful healing, is when we bring it all together. So I love what you just
said. Yeah, I'm getting teary-eyed. I'm like, yes, like, you know, the more that we can just see that interconnectedness, that we are of nature, we are not separate from it. It is just as much reflected out as in. And then there's these moments where I kind of smile when there's like, you know, scientific research says like, you know, first thing in the morning, looking at daylight can help, you know, really set your circadian rhythm. And it's like, yeah, who doesn't look at the sunrise and feel like the embodied feeling of it, of like, yes, I'm meant to do this. Same with like watching a sunset. You're like, oh, yes, I'm meant to do this. And then there's like scientific data. So it's like, oh, this is great for your, you know, you're like, oh, I'm doing this for science and for my health. But you're like, honestly, you're like, your innate wisdom within you wanted you to do that all along, right? Like watching the sunrise and watching the sunset.
Yes. And I think evolutionarily, like our bodies have, we just have over time developed and evolved in relationship with the cycles, in relationship with the sun. Like we are in relationship. It's like these modern years, you know, whatever, the past few hundred years that people have been holding themselves up in houses. And then I think it is like, I grew up in the New York City area. It is actually pretty easy to stay inside during the day and to not be seeing natural light that much. And especially when people have different rhythms, like that is one of those cities that don't sleep, right? So there's people who actually like don't even go outside during the day. So it's just, it's really interesting to see how far we are, have removed ourselves from these natural cycles. And also that it's always a possibility, even if you're living in a city, to bring yourself back into relationship. And
yes. Oh, the best like unsolicited advice I ever received when I became a mother was from this woman. She was like, best thing you can do for you, for your kids, go outside twice a day, every single day, no matter what. And I was like, yeah, well, that's easy, like whatever. But then you realize, like, you know, when it's, you know, like I said, we live in a northern climate that gets lots of snow and very cold days. And you're like, oh, it's so easy to like not do that. But living with that allows you to really like, you are so aware of the weather patterns, of the changing. It's like when you go camping, you know, for anyone who does camp, it's like you're so aware of weather, climate, any of those like natural environment cues, and you live with it. You're like, I will have to pack more layers. I'm going to have to, you know, think about how I'm going to warm up my food, all these things, because you're immersed in it. And we're, you know, we're very much separate from that, and just, you know, just how modern living has evolved over the years. So those little things like this unsolicited advice of getting outside twice a day, every day, no matter what, and you're like, oh, that's easy peasy. And then you're like, actually, it's great advice, because there could be so many times where you don't, where you're not, you're feeling disconnected from outside.
I love that you said that some of the best advice you've ever gotten is just go outside. Yes. But also, before we started this conversation, just like right now, we actually, you mentioned that because now where you're living, your kids are going to this really neat school, neat sounding school, that you actually have to walk through the woods to get to. So you actually are going outside every single day, right?
Yeah, twice a day, no matter what. And then, but we're like, our kids know that this is kind of this theme. They have to go out twice a day. And we're like, that doesn't count because we want to like play outside, right? Like the walk to the commute to school doesn't count. Like we're like, we need more. Yes, you get those two. So we do have those two built-in time slots of the walk to and from school twice a day, you know, but we're like, but we need a little bit more than that.
Yeah. Well, you know, you can create your own rhythms regardless, but it is neat that that's just like a part of your lifestyle.
Yeah.
And it's just like a part of, I think that's when you were saying that earlier, I was just like, I think about where we live now and I've read some historical kind of journals from the 1700s from the
as era. You do.
And they were talking about how, you know, they just like walked from their house to Center Montville. I live in Montville anyway. So they walked to the townhouse and like, that's gotta be a couple miles that they were like trudging through snow, wind, ice, like who knows what to get there. They didn't have plows. Like, I just think about that now. And I'm just like, this is our way of life. Like, this is who we have been in these lands, like where you're living, where I'm living in these more rural places. It's like a part of the life is to really know what it's like to be in all the seasons and all the weather, to get it, to feel it in our bones, to feel it in our skin. Like, yeah. And it's just a healthy thing. It like creates health.
So good. Yes.
Another thing that you mentioned when we were preparing for this was that self-care, I'm curious about this, self-care is an entry point to cyclical living. And I'm really, I'm curious to hear what you mean by that.
I feel like when people are first introduced to the concept of cyclical living, so aligning all these aspects of your life to your natural cycles, it can feel very overwhelming. It can also feel like, you know, we all have external responsibilities. We live in relationship to others, right? We live, if you have kids, if you have a partner, if you have a dog, or if you work out of the home, if you work in the home, like we are constantly in relationship to others. So aligning, using your self-care, so the way that you care for yourself can be like the easiest like stepping stone into how you start to align with your cycle, your cyclical nature. If you know, like, let's say you want to start to eat more in alignment with your cycle, or you want to start to arrange your schedule to really optimize when you're feeling more outward versus feeling more inward. Well, that's not always possible, right? That's not always because you're navigating, juggling other things. But what is possible is how you care for yourself. So like adapting how you care for yourself allows, and just shifting the lens that what you choose to do for your self-care, so for your movement practices, for, you know, however you care for yourself, to just shift the lens that you're looking through to be like, you know, what do I actually need in this moment? Like, what am I feeling? Like in this, you know, I'm in my luteal phase, like going for a 10-mile run sounds awful right now. Pre-cyclical living self would be like, but you know, we're gonna suck it up and we're gonna do it anyways. And then, you know, when you realize where you're at in your cycle and you're like, you know what? That's going to create more inflammation in my body. That's going to stress my body a little bit more, and it's going to probably make my period awful. So I might shift what I'm going to do. And instead of a 10-mile run, I'm going to do 2-mile jog, or I'm going to do like a more aggressive hike. You know, when you're really in tune with your cycle, with the ebbs and flows, these hormonal advantages, if you will, you're A, not setting these unrealistic expectations of how you're showing up for yourself. And you're also better able to navigate your levels of energy, your mood, and make choices that you can actually stick to. I find that like with some of the folks I work with, when I help them see that, they're better able to stick with, let's say like they, you know, they really want to do more movement in their life. Well, when you do it through that lens, you're better able to stick with it because A, it doesn't get boring. You don't feel like you're trying to do the same thing day in, day out with the same results. Like you're not going to experience that. And you start to lose that self, the inner critic that speaks up when you have way more energy one week and you're like, I'm doing all the things. I'm taking that kickboxing class and I'm doing this and it's great. And then the next week when you have like no energy and you're like, oh my gosh, why am I so lazy? Why do I not feel, I know I said I was going to take that kickboxing class, but I don't want to, you know, like you have this lens look at be like, oh, actually, I don't have as much energy and I don't have as much stamina. I can still nourish my body in a way that, you know, allows me to navigate what I'm working with here and now. And it's just this practice of, once again, of self-acceptance, of self-compassion, of self-regulation, and in a way, like self-awareness, right? You're just more in tune with your needs.
I think one of the things that you shared within that response that really stood out for me is just the question, what does your body need right now? What do you need right now? Somehow it's so simple and it's actually so profound at the same time.
Because life can sweep you up, right? You can just be like swept up by life and doing your daily rituals day in and day out and not actually pausing to like notice like what you need or notice what do I need to feel how I want to feel. Like, it takes time. It takes practice to like get in that habit of even understanding. And I think cyclical living, like when you start to even just understand where you're at within your cycle, gives you that pause point, right? It gives you this opportunity to really check in. Yeah, what do I need right now? And I think it's more than just like, what do I want right now? I really want to like hang out and eat a chocolate cupcake. But it's like, no, what do I need? Like my body needs like, I need to build some strength. I need to, you know, do these things. Like it's a beautiful way to navigate just what is essential for your overall well-being and help you make mindful choices to honor that.
Yeah. And I like that concept of, yeah, maybe you do need strength training, but what does that look like for you today? What does that look like for you at this phase of your cycle? That doesn't have to look the same throughout your cycle. You know, like maybe there's some day that it's actually like using real heavy weights that you're working on. And then there's another day that it's just like doing some planks. Like there's just different stuff that you can do that can be different depending on where you're at in your cycle. And that's more responsive to what your body has the actual capacity for. Because like you were saying, and with the 10-mile run, which anybody who's doing that, I am really in admiration of. That is not something that occurs in my life ever. Just that concept of like, if you're doing that in a time in your cycle, let's say it is especially like later in your luteal phase, especially if you're someone who really is impacted by that and you notice that you have lower energy, it is going to deplete. It's going to deplete you. It's not going to nourish you, you know, like, and really responding to that and seeing how that has impact, I think is even in itself powerful to think about.
Absolutely.
So let's actually talk about yoga now, if you're open to sharing, since you are such a skilled and experienced yoga practitioner yourself and teacher. I'm curious how you see yoga being able to blend in and weave in with this.
In embodied practice like yoga, like it really helps us navigate just our embodied experience of being cyclical. Like yoga is just this great holistic approach to wellness that incorporates like physical postures, so asanas, breath work, pranayama, meditation, mindfulness. And I'll say this just to clarify. So there in this discussion, when I talk about yoga, I'm going to talk mostly about yoga asana. So there's 8 limbs of yoga, and yoga is just like this practice to create greater connection and unity to really feel in alignment with your true self, right? Your soul. And there's many kind of avenues of it. In this context, I'm going to kind of reference yoga through kind of the lens of yoga asana. So posture-based yoga. So yoga allows us to mention this a few times already. It's just like this opportunity for greater self-awareness, self-acceptance, self-regulation, and self-compassion, right? It is truly this embodied practice to learn these aspects and really hone these aspects of ourself. On the physical aspect, like the physical practice of yoga, yoga asana, because you're doing these movements, can help you regulate your hormones. Like it can stimulate your endocrine system. It can help increase circulation systemically, but also in the pelvic region, which can alleviate, you know, menstrual discomfort, bloating, cramps. And we have to remember that everything affects everything. So yoga, you know, there's so many studies, but also if you practice it, you know that it has this beautiful way of reducing stress. And the effects of stress are really kind of detrimental on our reproductive hormones. Our body will always, always prioritize keeping us safe over reproduction. So if we are experiencing chronic high stress or perceived stress, our body is going to prioritize making cortisol versus making the sex hormones. And the downstream effect of that can just create all sorts of, you know, negative impacts downstream, whether that's irregular cycles or painful periods. So something like an embodied practice like yoga or even just meditation and breath work can help us calm the nervous system, help us kind of stay in that parasympathetic state, right? That rest and digest. And because of that, help create just greater hormonal regulation. And also with a practice, physical asana yoga practice, it allows you just for greater body awareness. Menstruation, it's a natural process. And through yoga, like, we can really develop this deeper connection with our bodies and creates like greater self-acceptance, self-compassion, and even just really starting to become very aware of just your embodied experience, like the sensations you feel in your body. You're just that much more able to filter, to see the like ebb and flow of your energy levels. When you have that kind of great and heightened sense of awareness, of body awareness, it empowers you, right? It just feels like you can really feel empowered by cultivating just a greater awareness of your cyclical nature. Also, I think that cultivating a mind-body connection through a yoga practice, once again, can allow us to just deeply understand the unique qualities of each phase of our menstrual cycle and have just this heightened awareness that can help us just embrace each shift, each change along the way, because we're just that much more in tune with our needs, with our desires. So that's kind of like a general overview, I'd say, of like how an embodied practice like yoga can really help you tune into your cyclical nature.
What I'm hearing is that there's both the part of like in your different cycle phases, you can choose these however you practice that aligns with that. And the practice of mind-body connection, the practice of these asanas, the practice of these breathwork, that helps you to tune in more to your cyclical nature. So it's like a both and.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So let's talk about any particular practices or asanas or like forms, you know, of pranayama or anything like that, that you, obviously you can't like name everything, but just some examples maybe, because I'm sure that there are some people who actually are yoga teachers, highly trained, or maybe have been going to yoga classes for like 15 years and go all the time. And they're really familiar with different poses. And there's probably people who are just like, well, what would I even choose, you know, in each cycle phase. So do you want to give some examples?
Yeah, I'll do like kind of a general overview of kind of each phase. So let's start with the follicular phase. So this is, you know, the first day when you're no longer bleeding. I'm going to reference this as like our waxing or inner waxing moon phase, right? So typically, you know, your embodied experience, maybe you feel like more energy, you feel creativity, you feel this openness, you know, sometimes like with, you can just feel more open to like try new things. I would say like just style-wise, what can feel really nourishing is like a practice that maybe quicker pace to it, like a vinyasa flow practice or something that can feel a little bit more challenging to you, but also has like this element of creativity. So a vinyasa flow class can kind of have this element of creativity and you flow from one posture to the next, almost like this choreographed sequence. Also, I want to say that kind of each phase primes yourself for the next phase. And how we treat ourselves in our follicular phase is going to help us like how ovulation happens. And some kind of more specific things that I love to incorporate in yoga practices is ways to create like compression to bring more circulation to the ovaries, more circulation to like the uterus. So one technique that I love to incorporate is taking, let's say you're in a seated fold. So you're sitting on your bottom, one leg's, let's say the right leg is extended, the left leg is bent in with the left foot on the floor. If you take like a rolled up towel or a blanket and you put it right in your hip crease, so right where your left knee, your left leg meets the hip, that little crease there, roll up the blanket, put it there, and then just take your twist, your normal seated twist with that blanket there. And you hold that, let's say like 5 rounds of breath and really do like some diaphragmatic breathing, right? So that full circumference of the core breath, that holding that and then releasing that. So you're just basically allowing for this kind of massage of that area. You release it and then the circulation kind of floods in that area. So these areas, that there's ways that you can help create just greater circulation to help have a healthier ovulation. Mm-hmm. Another one that I'd say like in kind of this first half of your cycle is practicing inversions. So basically any time your heart is higher than your head. So this could look like your headstands, your shoulder stands, your handstands, but it also can be something like Anahatasana, heart melting pose, or they call it puppy pose. So the expression would be, say you're on all fours, and then you lower down onto your forearms and bring and extend your arms straight so that your hips are up high and then your chest is low. This can, if we think about menstruation as this kind of downward flow, right, of energy, we call it in yoga apana, that downward energy. So we can kind of have this heaviness feeling in the pelvis. So in the follicular phase, to kind of help create a little bit like pelvic lift, a little bit lightness in that, doing an inversion, so where the hips are slightly higher than the heart, can help just kind of decrease any like pelvic pressure. It can also just kind of create this like pelvic lift. So yeah, so those are kind of more postural things. With breath work or even meditation, breath work practices for this phase, if you think about how you're experiencing life, sometimes like the effects of estrogen can have us just feel outward. We're like, how do I help others? How am I going to show up? How am I going to think about other ways I can navigate? It's just very this outward energy. And when you're trying to get stuff done, sometimes it can feel like you're easily distracted. You're easily like every shiny little thing is like pulling at your attention. So using a breathwork practice like box breathing is a great one to help cultivate a little bit more mental clarity, greater focus. So box breathing is where your inhale, you hold your inhale, your exhale, and you hold the exhale, all are for equal amounts. So let's say you would inhale for four, hold for four, exhale on a count of four, hold empty for a count of four. Practicing that for a few minutes can really help you kind of rein in the energy, right? If you feel like you're outward, it helps you just bring the energy back in. Another practice like Ujjayi breath, right? So that ocean breath. So when you're practicing yoga, you'll hear the teacher sometimes cue Ujjayi breath. So it's like when you have that slight constriction, can sound kind of like that slight constriction in the throat, can just help you bring more focus and bring just a little bit, kind of bring the energy and awareness a little bit closer into you. And then let's like shift a little bit now into like the ovulatory phase. Like this is our inner full moon phase. This can look like your yoga practice may feel like, once again, a little bit like challenging practices might feel really good, like a power yoga class, or even just like a luminous kundalini practice, right? This kind of outward energy or practices that like lead you to through like a peak pose. Another kind of aspect of kind of like this ovulatory phase is we're full of heat and energy. And so sometimes I think that the shadow side of ovulation is sometimes we can lose our sense of self. Right? We can feel like we're constantly giving and doing, and we want to do all the things and be visible. We can lose our sense of self. So a pranayama practice that I love to do is Chandra Veda Pranayama. So it's left nostril breathing. So a lot of people are familiar with alternate nostril breathing. So this is one where it uses the left nostril to exhale. It has a cooling effect. So our right nostril is thought to be kind of energetically associated with our body's heating energy, and it's kind of symbolized through like the sun. The left nostril is our body's kind of cooling energy, and it's represented by the moon. So when you can feel like hot-headed and you feel like, oh, I've got all this energy, and you need to like tone it down, something like using Chandra Veda Pranayama, where you are exhaling through the left nostril. It can look like either like inhaling through the right, exhaling through the left, or just in and out through the left, and it has that cooling aspect to it. So the next we'll shift into our luteal phase, our inner waning moon phase. So remember, cycles bring us into balance, right? So we have this kind of felt and body experience of maybe a little bit more outward energy. And then after ovulation, maybe a few, let's say like a week or so before your next cycle, we can start to feel just energetically like our energy may be lower. Maybe our mood is a little bit lower, or maybe we just feel that our capacity to do like more and new things just feels limited. I always like to think like this is the time, like all the boundaries, right? Like saying no when you mean no, rather than saying yes when you mean no, right? Like that's the time. And this can look like practices that there's enough movement to kind of burn any excess like stress that you may be experiencing, but not so much that you're feeling depleted. something where like it's longer holds, it can still like be strength building, but it's not necessarily like a quick, fast-paced practice. So like any sort of hatha practice where you're holding the postures for, you know, 5 cycles of breath doesn't have to be super quick, but enough that you feel like you're building strength, you're not depleting yourself. And this is also, I find, a beautiful opportunity to take compression work, but now rather than kind of into the ovaries, the side of the body, doing a little bit more compression work into like the uterus area. So I love one that I have a lot of folks that I work with. If you roll up a towel and you lay it down kind of perpendicular to the long edge of your mat, so just across your mat, and you lay down so that your towel kind of hits right below the hip bones, kind of right there, and just lay on your belly with the towel in that area and do some belly breaths, even like pressing into a cobra pose, like a little baby back bend, so that you're once again kind of bringing some compression to this area. Then when you release it, you're once again allowing just for greater circulation. This can be really helpful in those days leading up to your period, right? So this can be really helpful to just allow for greater circulation, less stagnation, maybe possibly minimize period discomfort, cramps, bloating. So that type of compression work. Also, we know that kind of in our luteal phase, our immune system is slightly suppressed. Doing things that are going to help kind of fortify the immune system. So incorporating things that are going to kind of hit those little lymph nodes in the armpits and the hip creases. So incorporating eagle pose. So let's say you're crossing at the elbows, crossing at the wrists, and pulling the elbows down so that you're creating pressure, compression in the armpits. So kind of massaging those lymph nodes. Also just, I love to incorporate tapping in a practice to kind of tap acupressure points that kind of help govern the immune system. So thymus and the kidney meridian, the K27 points, it's just below the clavicles. There's like a little soft indentation there, and tapping there, tapping the thymus. So tapping right above the breastbone. So just areas that you can tap to bring more circulation, more energy into acupressure points along the meridians that are going to govern your immune system. So these areas, knowing that in the luteal phase, like you're immune system slightly suppressed, you maybe you're, you know, helping fortify your immune system, and anything that can help you reduce stress. If your tendency in, you know, the days that lead up to your period and of the period, like you feel just the effects of stress on your body more, like ways that you can really just calm the nervous system. So that might be doing legs up the wall. That might be taking alternate nostril breathing. So that's a great one to help kind of, it's like the great equalizer. Nadi Shodhana, it's like where you inhale through the right, exhale through the left, inhale through the left, exhale through the right. So you're just doing that pattern. And that can just bring you back to homeostasis. And then we reach like our menstrual phase, kind of the phase that we are most probably all familiar with. I like to call that like your inner new moon phase. This is your opportunity to like turn inward, like really what we would do. You know, when we work with the moons, we set intentions, right? We think like, okay, what do I want to release so I can make room for what I want more of? Setting intentions, but also like, how can I take an embodied practice to like turn inward? So things like yin, restorative practice, or even adding a little bit of movement into a practice that's not going to deplete you, but at least help prevent stagnation and allow for a little bit more circulation. So taking like on your all fours, taking cow cat, but taking more circular movement with the pelvis, right? Or taking a seated cow cat where you're, you know, sitting down and you're just rocking the hips back and forth to just create more awareness, more heat into that area without doing any depleting movements. And yoga nidra, like that relaxation technique, can be so effective and so great for just calming your system and helping you turn inward and really just helping you kind of find that liminal space in your mind from being like fully awake, fully on, to being fully asleep, kind of that liminal medium space to help you really just gain clarity, kind of feel that feeling of reset. And yeah, so those are kind of like the practices that I'd, you know, kind of rough overview for each phase of the cycle.
So good. Thank you for sharing all of those. I love just like those, you actually gave instruction around each of the poses too, which is really neat. I feel like people could listen and be like, okay, this is what I'm doing. And of course, seek out more support if needed. But I feel like it was really neat to hear. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you for that. I think just to honor our time, you had mentioned that you'd be open to offering a little breathwork practice before we close. I would love to receive that. And I feel like folks would probably love to receive that too, who are listening. So would you mind doing that?
Yes, my pleasure. So the practice that we'll do is an apana breathing practice, apana pranayama. And so we have these kind of we have multiple energy systems, but we have apana vayu is the downward energy that apana pranayama roughly translates to air that moves away. So this practice is really wonderful if you are on your bleed, but it's also like just a great opportunity for when you feel like you need to like feel grounded. We talked about like our connection to the earth. It's a great practice to feel this like deep connection to the earth. And before we move into it, the breathing exercise is going to look like you're going to take like a nice long inhale and kind of feel as you inhale that you're drawing energy up, right, from the earth up into you. We're going to pause at the top. And then as you exhale, I want to incorporate just like this visualization as you exhale that you're kind of sending the energy kind of down through your torso, down through your pelvis, through your legs, back down to the earth. So really emphasizing a long exhale with this idea, this visualization of just moving that energy away from you, down and out. So find your way to a comfortable seat. I invite you, if it feels right, you can lower your gaze, you can close your eyes, and just take a moment to let yourself arrive. And just feel beneath you. Feel the weight of your body touching the earth. And just feel that earth beneath you holding you, supporting you unconditionally. And I invite you to send your awareness kind of from the chatter of the mind. See if you can just kind of drop down into your heart, into the heart space, noticing that area. And first, just noticing that area as you breathe. So feel with each inhale the expansiveness. And feel with each exhale bringing your awareness inward. And as you just feel the steady rhythm of your breath, I invite you to just feel, as you're noticing your breath, feel that connection to the earth beneath you. And then together, just taking an inhale and feel that you're drawing that energy down, up through the legs, through the torso, all the way up, feeling that fullness of your breath at the top. And a nice long exhale can be through the mouth or through the nose. Nice long exhale. Send the energy back down through the torso, through the pelvis, through the legs, through your feet, down to the earth. And then again, inhale. Feel that energy through the nose. Feel up the lungs. Feel all the way. Feel the fullness of your breath, expansive quality. And then a nice long exhale. Send the energy out. Down through the pelvis, through the legs, through your feet, down to the earth. Again, inhale, fill the lungs. Just feel that full circumference of the torso fill up. Hold that fullness at the top. And then exhale, once again, send the energy down through the torso, through the pelvis, the legs, the feet. Keep going until you're all the way empty, pausing empty. And then inhale again. And just feel the energy rising up, pausing nice and full at the top, and then exhale, just send that energy down through the torso, the pelvis, the legs, all the way back down to the earth from which it came. Breathe in. Even just feel this looseness of the jaw, right? Creating a space between the top row of teeth and the bottom row. And then as you exhale, just sending that energy down through the torso, through the pelvis. Feel that downward energy through the bottoms of your feet connecting to the earth. Take it one more breath in, filling yourself all the way up, pausing nice and full. And then exhale, just sending the energy down, down through the torso, the pelvis, down through the legs, the feet, down to the earth. And just coming back to a natural breath and just noticing. Noticing if you feel grounded. Noticing if you feel connected. Noticing how you feel. Bringing your awareness just to the room around you. And when you feel complete, then opening your eyes.
That was really lovely. Yeah, I definitely feel like, and even though I was already very clear and present in our conversation, I feel like there's so much less in my head now. It's really interesting to feel like the depth of presence in my lower body.
So good. So simple. Yeah. It's so good.
I love being led in breath work. Thank you so much for offering that. And I think it's a good example. Like, it's a good example of how you do offer things. Cause I know that part of your work, at least that you have historically done, is having some online offerings. So if people are listening to this and they're like, oh, Rebecca seems kind of neat. I wonder how to connect more with her, learn from her, work with her. Where would they go for that?
On social, you can find me on Instagram at Women's Moon Wisdom. And that is the also my website. If you type in womensmoonwisdom.com, it'll lead you to my website. And I have all sorts of offerings. I have a cyclical living journaling offering. It's a freebie offer, and it's a beautiful way to just start to dip your toe into, you know, working with your cycle. And if you're not even cycling, it's a beautiful way to work with the lunar cycle to kind of feel the cyclical nature that you have within you innately. Check that out, and that will lead you to my website as well. And I have one-on-one coaching. I have some self-care courses, as well as I'm developing a cyclical living self-care app where it has, the membership has all sorts of yoga, meditation, breathwork practices, all that you can use to align with either your cyclical nature or even just like the lunar cycle, any your energetic cyclical nature. That will be up and running hopefully soon. So at the time of this recording, I am working hard on it.
So much good stuff. And I just have to say that having heard a little bit more about your app when we were talking before we started recording, that it sounds pretty incredible. It sounds like it's going to have a nice blend between like actually paying attention to tracking your unique cycle and all of the what you've previously offered in your memberships, like really bridging those together. So I think that's so cool that you're doing that.
Thank you.
Yes, very, very cool. So thank you so much, Rebecca, for just bringing it, like sharing your personal story too. Like, I really appreciate that you offered some of the context around like where you were, how cyclical living has completely transformed your way of being in the world, and even the way that you relate to like what you've been doing forever, like the yoga practice, the pranayama, all the things that you've been doing, how it's shifted and changed over the years. I just think it's really neat to hear your story. And then thank you so much for sharing those specific practices. Like, that was really awesome. So thank you.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. This has been such a pleasure. Oh, thank you.
Woo woo. You made it to the end of the interview. Thanks for sticking around. And if you came back, thanks for returning. I hope that you found some deep inspiration from this episode. I feel like, especially with those postures and breathing practices that she mentioned at the end, this is something, especially that last kind of 20 minutes that could be returned to over time, or even something that you kind of take notes on so that you can bring it into your life. I hope that it really adds something to your own personal embodied cyclical living practice. And your yoga practice, if that's something that's a part of your life, to really start to listen more deeply to what your body is telling you. That feels like the most important piece. Even when we're talking cyclical living, just like I said and was kind of sharing about in our conversation, more important than what the books say is what does your body say? What does your body say? How do you feel? is something that you're doing exhausting you, then it's probably more depleting than it is nourishing for you. So really listening, really paying attention to what your body's saying at any given moment, the more that we do that, the more that we are connected, that we are respectful of our own body's cues, the better we're all going to feel in the world. It's just a reality. So I will definitely put any of the show notes, the links to Rebecca's offerings, her offering that journal practice that she mentioned, and to her website and to her social media on the show notes page, which you can find at herbalwomb.com/episode118. herbalwomb.com/episode118. I love that number, 118. It's pretty much some of my favorite numbers combined. 1 and 8 are both very, very powerful numbers in my mind. Symbols. They're just powerful symbols that I love so much. So I love that this episode is going to be holding this place in the podcast. And if you loved this episode, if there was anything that really stuck out to you, any gems, any insights, if you feel like you know anybody who would really benefit from hearing it, then share it. You can share it individually in a text message or a DM, or you can share it publicly on social media. And if you do share it publicly on social media, tag me at Herbal Womb Wisdom so I can see what you're digging, what you're feeling into, what's really kind of driving you. I notice with downloads, I can also see that. And then I can see when people really kind of are engaged in it. So I love to see, though, sharing with other people. I feel like that really gives me a sense of like, oh, this was important enough. This is a topic that people are really interested in. You know, there's a lot of ideas that I have around different offerings, including online offerings that could involve being live together in virtual space, potentially being live together in physical space, and understanding the kinds of topics and interests that you have is going to help me to understand where to focus some of that energy. So definitely wanting to serve you and explore what your deepest interests are. So always, of course, you are welcome to DM me if you have specific questions or you have some interests that you're kind of like, oh yeah, I really want to learn more about this. I appreciate when people do that. And please, if for some reason you have DM'd me something and it's gotten into my kind of topics list, but I haven't shared about it, feel free to ping me again. If it's been several months or even a year since then, feel free to ping me again because I might not have added it to my topic list in my actual podcast document. I am always interested in hearing what your interests are. Okay, beautiful friends. Well, I believe that is enough for today. It is a long episode and hopefully a really lovely, fruitful, inspiring one for you. I'm very grateful for Rebecca coming on and sharing some of that embodied wisdom. I love when people have that embodied wisdom, the embodied experience. It's not just, oh, I learned this thing and so then I'm going to share it. It's like, no, I know this deep in my bones. I know this deep in my womb. And I am sharing from that place. So that's why we're here. We're all learning that. We're all developing that skill in ourselves. And I'm grateful to be here with you. Until next time, live well, connect deeply, and have a beautiful rest of your day.